A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hello, Herman and Corin. I mentioned that now and again I do a little bit of tinkering on the My Weird Prompts podcast production pipeline, which has been, I have to say, such an interesting experience. It's a continuing experience for me, an experiment in agentic AI and what's the best way to do things. And the beauty slash challenge slash artistry of agentic AI is that there really isn't generally a prescriptive answer. You can do a lot of things in many different ways. And I'll give you an example of an idea that just popped out of me today. I was thinking that, you know, I generally try to actually record voice notes and send them in to the episode. I feel like it gives the podcast a more human feel. Sometimes, however, I do the transcription offline and I just send in text. But we've done a lot of episodes supporting both formats. I was thinking today that one of the pitfalls in the transcription stage, which I don't see what the transcription is, that happens server-side in the pipeline, is that you might have things that were mistranscribed. Let's say that I'm talking about a niche new software that I tried out, and it's not a word that's going to be reliably in a training corpus, or it's just a really, really specific word that I know from experience there's a high probability that OpenAI Whisper, which is what we use for transcribing my prompts in the audio workflow, is going to get it wrong. And I was thinking today, you know what? I'm going to add a field into the send form saying, you know, like something like words that the user used, or I'm flagging these words and they may be mistranscribed. Now, I was thinking to myself, what's the best way to actually do this? What I could do, and this is just one idea, is after OpenAI, after Whisper transcribes my prompt, and if I flagged words, we use another agent that says, maybe it's called a transcription fixer agent, and it says, here's a transcription, the user flagged these things that might be wrong, fix it, return the fixed version, and then the pipeline continues. Now here's my, and the second one was just doing that in the script writer itself. But here's the question I'd love to ask in this podcast. The intuition is, especially if you haven't used AI tools at the API level before, is this is going to cost an absolute fortune. I'm going to have one agent and then the next agent, then the next agent. But the thing is this, if you're talking about a transcription pass, let's say that my prompt comes in at 50 words or even 200 words, and I'm going to run it through a transcription fixer agent. That agent's going to get my prompt, my word override list, and it's going to be asked to return a formatted version. Now, you could probably use GPT 3.5 mini, GPT-4. People probably tend to use vastly overpowered engines for these kind of tasks. And if you're talking about using DeepSeek, you'd probably be looking at 0.0001 cent for that pass. So you actually, when you do the math, you realize that agentic AI can actually be very cost efficient, and you can probably throw as many agents as you want into the pipeline. Now, here's my question, and just to set the context here, we're using LangGraph, great platform, probably the one that I want to continue learning the most about. That holds together the podcast, ranging from when I send in the form through to the script writing agent, the verification, the tool usage, all the way to production, pushing it out to Vercel for deployment. Everything is handled from within. It's a LangGraph native pipeline now. My question is this. Every time we add an agent into our graph, we're adding a few things. Number one, we're adding another point of failure. What happens if the transcription correction agent, which isn't totally essential, messes up and returns a botched version of the transcript? So we're risking the entire production pipeline if we don't have human in the loop based on one, there's another point of failure. Number two, we're adding cost, and we talked about that. It can actually be pretty minimal. But number three, we're adding latency. We're going to have one goes out. We're adding one more API call into the chain. None of these, to my mind, are actually catastrophic. We're probably adding a tiny, tiny bit of latency, an API call that costs virtually nothing. And it's probably actually worth doing. But you kind of think, you begin thinking to yourself, wait, could I build a graph with 20 or 30 agents? Is there anything inherently wrong with that? Should we be trying to consolidate all the time? Or is there an argument to be made? And this is what I would actually tend towards favoring myself. The best results from AI come from very, very specific tasks. You give an agent a micro task, you give it the job, and the context challenge is essentially non-existent. It means you get very predictable results. However, it also means that you potentially need 10 agents or 15 agents, depending upon how complicated what you're trying to do is. So Herman and Corin, I'd love to chat today. The broader question that I'm asking here is, when we're building these multi-agent systems, we tend to think of multi-agent as, I don't know, let's have 3 agents. Is there a point at which that kind of just stops? Like, can you have a 100 agent pipeline? I'd be more interested to know in actual production agentic AI pipelines now, with or without human in the loop, what are some numbers that people are building with? If I were to walk into a bank or, you know, anyone with a complicated backend pipeline using AI these days, would I be likely to see 10 agent pipelines, 30, 50, 100? Where are the kind of approximate parameters people are building with today? And what are the failure modes, to use that expression again? I feel like LangGraph could comfortably scale all the way up, but I'm not sure about that. Is there a point at which you really need a framework if you're not using one already, or you need to use a specific framework supporting multi-agent with all the other things, including failover, which is one of the things that I didn't mention in the breaking thing. When you add another agent, it might not work. It also might break the pipeline if it fails. And this is when the more agents you have, the more you have to think about resiliency and failover routes, because the surface is wider. Herman and Corin, let's talk about scaling multi-agent pipelines. And is there an inflection point, and what are those? How does it all work? Over to you.
The prompt today starts with a tiny thing, a transcription fixer agent. 50-word voice note, whisper mangles a niche term, you flag it, the fixer cleans it up. About 1/10,000th of a cent on DeepSeek. 200 milliseconds. It corrupts the transcript and the whole pipeline goes sideways. And that tension, between trivial cost and real fragility, is where the whole question of scaling multi-agent systems actually lives.
The timing on this is perfect because the tools have gotten so good at removing friction. LangGraph, Crew AI, AutoGen, they make adding another agent feel like adding another function call. The question stopped being, can I add an agent, and became, should I? And the answer is not obvious.
It never is with anything interesting. So let's back up and look at what's actually happening when we add that one little agent.
The prompt walks through a concrete example. You've got a podcast pipeline, transcription, script writing, verification, tool usage, deployment. The user records a voice note. Whisper transcribes it, but Whisper's word error rate on general English is about 5-7%. On niche technical terms, it can exceed 30%. So the user flags words that might get mangled, and a transcription fixer agent gets the raw transcript plus the override list and returns a cleaned version.
The intuition most people have, especially if they've never worked with these APIs directly, is that this is going to cost a fortune. One agent calling another agent calling another agent. It sounds expensive.
It's just not. Let's do the actual token math. GPT-4o Mini, as of May 2026, is 15 cents per million input tokens and 60 cents per million output tokens. DeepSeek is even cheaper, 1.4 cents per million input, 2.8 cents per million output. A 200-word prompt with a 50-word response is roughly 300 tokens. That's $0.00045 on GPT-4o Mini. On DeepSeek, it's $0.000042. Even 100 agents at that size is $0.00042 per pipeline run. Cost is essentially a rounding error for text-only agents.
The thing people worry about most is the thing that matters least, which is a very human pattern.
It really is. And I think it's because we still carry this mental model from the early days of GPT-4, when API calls were genuinely expensive. That world is gone. But the other two axes, latency and failure probability, those are where things get interesting.
Let's start with the math nobody does. The actual cost, latency, and failure numbers.
Latency is where you feel it. Each agent adds round-trip time. GPT-40 mini-median latency is about 500 milliseconds for short outputs. DeepSeek is around 300 milliseconds, so 10 sequential agents, 3 to 5 seconds. 30 agents, 9 to 15 seconds. 100 agents, 30 to 50 seconds. For a podcast pipeline that runs asynchronously, that's fine. Nobody's sitting there waiting. But for a real-time customer-facing system, 30 seconds is death. You've lost the user.
That's sequential. If you can parallelize, the equation changes completely.
And we'll get to that. But the hidden killer, the one most people miss entirely, is failure probability compounding. Let's say each agent has a 99.5% success rate. That sounds great. It's actually optimistic for unvalidated outputs in the wild. A 10-agent pipeline with that per-agent rate has a 95.1% chance of completing without error. 30 agents drops to 86.1%. 100 agents, 60.6%. You're basically flipping a coin on whether your pipeline completes cleanly.
That's the thing that should keep people up at night. Not the bill, not the latency. The fact that your 100-agent pipeline fails 40% of the time, and you might not even notice if the failures are silent.
Silent failures are the scariest kind. A crashed agent is obvious. You get an error, the pipeline halts, you fix it. But a hallucinated output that passes validation? A transcription fixer that corrects a term to something plausible but wrong? That propagates through every downstream agent, and nobody catches it until the episode goes live with a nonsense term in the script.
Like adopting a feral cat. You think you're helping, you bring it inside. And then 6 months later, you realize it's been systematically destroying your furniture, and you just didn't notice because the damage was incremental.
Actually, a perfect analogy. And it brings us to what I think of as the agent reliability budget. If you need your pipeline to succeed 99% of the time, which is table stakes for anything production-facing, and you have 50 agents, each individual agent needs to succeed 99.98% of the time. That's absurdly high for an LLM call without validation.
That budget gets brutal fast. Let's say you're running that 50-agent pipeline and your per-agent success rate is 99%, which is already better than what most models deliver on complex tasks without guardrails. Your overall pipeline success rate? 60.5%. You're failing 4 out of 10 runs.
Here's where the intuition breaks down for most engineers. We're used to systems where components have 5 nines reliability, 99.999% uptime. An LLM agent making nuanced judgments about text doesn't operate in that world. 99% is aspirational for a lot of agent tasks.
The constraint isn't technical. It's probabilistic. You can build a 100-agent pipeline tomorrow. LangGraph will run it. But the math says it'll break constantly unless you design for that failure.
This is where I see most teams go wrong. They add agents for microtasks, which is good practice. Microtask agents produce more predictable outputs than monolithic ones, but they don't add corresponding validation. They treat each agent as a function that just works, and it doesn't.
There was a real case from a LangGraph production deployment that illustrates this perfectly. A fintech company built a 12-agent customer support pipeline. Before they added per-agent validation nodes, they had a 7% silent failure rate. 7% of customer interactions had something subtly wrong. A hallucinated policy detail, a misrouted request, a gobbled account number. After adding validation nodes, it dropped to 0.3%. But they added 40% more agents, the validators themselves.
That's the trade-off in a nutshell. You add agents to increase capability, then you add more agents to make the first ones reliable, and suddenly your 12-agent pipeline is a 17-agent pipeline, and your engineering overhead has doubled.
Compare that with a 3-agent RAG pipeline. Retrieval? Generation. Maybe a guardrail check. Simple, boring, 99.9% reliable. But it can't do anything complex.
And that's the real question the prompt is asking. Where's the line? At what point does the complexity cost outweigh the capability gain?
If cost isn't the constraint and latency is manageable, what's actually stopping people from building 50-agent pipelines?
Let's look at the architectural patterns that work in production. The first thing that changes the equation is parallelization. LangGraph version 0.3, released in March, added native support for parallel node execution with fan-in and fan-out patterns. So instead of running agents one after another, you can fan out. The transcription fixer runs in parallel with intent classification, sentiment analysis, and entity extraction. They all complete independently, then fan in to a merge node.
Which means you're not adding latency linearly. A 100-agent pipeline where 80% of the work is parallelizable might only add 2 or 3 sequential hops. Your total latency is dominated by the slowest parallel branch, plus the sequential chain length.
And this is where framework choice matters. LangGraph's conditional edges let you build what I'd call a circuit breaker pattern. The transcription fixer agent doesn't just output corrected text, it outputs a confidence score. If that score is below 0.8, the pipeline routes to a fallback agent or a human review node instead of continuing blindly.
You're not just hoping the agent works. You're designing for the case where it doesn't.
That's the difference between a demo and a production system. In a demo, you assume success. In production, you assume failure and route around it.
The prompt mentioned human in the loop as well. Where does that fit in?
Human in the loop is the ultimate circuit breaker, but it's expensive in time. Every human checkpoint adds minutes or hours of latency. In a legal document review pipeline or a medical coding system, that's non-negotiable. You need a human to sign off at critical junctions. For a podcast pipeline, it's probably overkill. But the principle applies. Strategic checkpoints beat exhaustive validation.
Strategic meaning. Put the human where the failure would be catastrophic, not where it's merely annoying.
If the transcription fixer mangles a niche term, the script might have a weird word in it. Annoying but fixable in post. If the deployment agent pushes broken code to production, your site goes down. That's where you want a human checkpoint.
I want to dig into that merely annoying category for a second, because I think it's where a lot of teams get stuck. They try to eliminate every possible error, and they end up with a pipeline so laden with checkpoints that it takes an hour to process a 5-minute task.
That's the perfectionism trap, and it's a real one. I've seen teams add validation agents to check validation agents. It's turtles all the way down.
The podcast pipeline is actually a good case study here. If the transcription fixer introduces an error, let's say it changes LangGraph to LangGraph, that's annoying. The scriptwriter might propagate it. But the cost of fixing it is maybe 30 seconds of human editing before the episode goes live. Compare that to the cost of adding a validation agent, a fallback agent, and a human review step for every transcription fix. You're spending engineering time and pipeline latency to prevent a problem that costs almost nothing to fix manually.
That calculus changes completely if you're building a medical coding pipeline where a transcription error could mean the wrong procedure code and an insurance claim denial. Suddenly, that validation agent isn't overkill, it's essential.
Part of the art is honestly assessing the cost of failure for your specific domain.
And most teams don't do that assessment explicitly. They either overvalidate everything or undervalidate everything because they haven't sat down and said, what actually happens if this agent gets it wrong?
What are people actually building in production? The prompt asked for real numbers.
There was a survey in 2025 of 200 production agentic systems. The median agent count was 7. The 90th percentile was 22 agents, so most teams are building relatively small graphs, but the high end is pushing past 20.
7, as the median is lower than I'd expect, given how cheap these calls are.
It reflects the engineering maturity curve. Most teams are still figuring out validation, monitoring, and failure recovery. They're not constrained by cost or latency. They're constrained by their ability to manage complexity. Adding an agent is easy. Adding an agent that you can trust in production is hard.
I talked to someone at a major bank recently. They're running a 47-agent loan processing pipeline, 3 human checkpoints, 12 parallel branches, and a 99.97% pipeline success rate.
That's impressive. What's their secret?
Every agent has a confidence gate. If the output confidence falls below a threshold, it gets rerouted to a more capable and more expensive model, or to a human. They're not running every call through GPT-4. They're running most through cheaper models and escalating only when needed.
That's the tiered routing pattern. It's like having a junior analyst do the first pass and a senior partner review the edge cases. You get the cost benefits of cheap models with the reliability of expensive ones.
It directly addresses the failure compounding problem. If each agent has a 99.5% base success rate, but the confidence gate catches the failures and escalates them, your effective per agent success rate might be 99.9% or higher. Suddenly, a 100-agent pipeline becomes viable.
The confidence gate pattern is probably the single most actionable takeaway for anyone building these systems. If your agent can't express confidence in its output, and not all models do this well, you add a validation node. A separate agent whose only job is to check the first agent's work and return a pass or fail with a confidence score.
Which is the validation agent pattern we saw in the FinTech case. It adds agents, but dramatically reduces silent failures.
Silent failures are the ones that compound. A crashed agent stops the pipeline, you notice, you fix it. A hallucinated output that looks plausible slides right through and poisons everything downstream.
There's another production case worth mentioning. A 22-agent content moderation pipeline at a social media platform. They run 15 agents in parallel. Image analysis, text analysis, metadata checks, user history review. Then 7 sequential agents for escalation and decision-making. Pipeline success rate is 99.2%, with 0.8% routed to human review.
That parallel, then sequential architecture is becoming the standard pattern. Do everything you can independently in parallel, then sequence only the decisions that depend on all that context.
Compare that with the podcast pipeline the prompt describes. 5 agents. Transcription, script writing, verification, tool usage, deployment. You could imagine a 30-agent version with per-sentence fact-checking, tone analysis, multi-pass editing, source verification. It would produce better output, almost certainly. But it would require 3 times the engineering effort to maintain.
That's the inflection point. It's not a fixed number. It's when the cost of managing failures, the retry logic, the fallback agents, the monitoring, the alerting, the A-B testing for agent outputs, exceeds the value of the additional capability. For most teams today, that's somewhere between 15 and 30 agents.
Beyond 30, you need dedicated infrastructure, observability platforms, tracing, agent-specific metrics. You can't just look at logs and guess.
That infrastructure is emerging. Langsmith has been building out agent-specific tracing. Weights and Biases is moving into the space. There are startups focused entirely on agent observability. But it's early. Most teams are still rolling their own monitoring.
Which means if you're building a 30-agent pipeline today, you're also building a monitoring platform. That's a lot of engineering.
It circles back to the question of whether you should consolidate agents. The misconception is that consolidation reduces complexity, so it's always better. But microtask agents produce more predictable outputs than monolithic agents. A single agent doing 15 things is harder to debug than 15 agents doing one thing each. The trade-off isn't simplicity versus complexity. It's agent complexity versus pipeline management complexity.
You're choosing which kind of complexity you'd rather deal with.
And for most teams, pipeline management complexity is more tractable. You can add monitoring, validation, and fallback routing. You can't easily peer inside a monolithic agent and figure out why it hallucinated on step 7 of a 15-step reasoning chain.
I want to make that concrete, because I think it's counterintuitive. Most engineers look at a 15-agent pipeline and think, this is bloated, I should consolidate. But when you consolidate, you're asking one model to do 15 distinct cognitive tasks in sequence. And LLMs have this property where errors early in a reasoning chain compound, just like pipeline errors do. They're just hidden inside a single API call.
If step 3 of 15 goes wrong inside a monolithic agent, steps 4 through 15 are building on a faulty premise, and you get a confidently wrong answer at the end. At least with separate agents, you can inspect the output at each step.
There's a paper from earlier this year that tested exactly this. They compared monolithic agents doing multi-step reasoning against multi-agent pipelines doing the same task, and the multi-agent version had a lower error rate on complex tasks. Not because the individual agents were better, but because errors were caught at the boundaries between agents.
That boundary effect is real. Every handoff between agents is an opportunity to detect drift. A monolithic agent has no internal handoffs, so drift accumulates silently.
There's another dimension the prompt touched on. Framework choice. Langgraf versus a custom orchestrator.
Langgraf gets you very far. The built-in retry logic, fallback nodes, and conditional edges cover most patterns you need. But at some scale, I'd say north of 50 agents with complex routing, you might want more granular control. Custom retry strategies per agent type. Fine-grained rate limiting. Agent-specific caching. These are things you can build on top of Langgraf, but at some point the framework becomes the constraint rather than the enabler.
Though I'd argue most teams never hit that point. They hit the complexity wall before they hit the framework wall.
The median is 7 agents. Most teams should be thinking about validation and monitoring before they think about custom orchestrators.
Let's talk about measuring agent health in production. What metrics actually matter?
1. Success rate per agent, not just whether it returned a response, but whether the response passed validation. 2. Latency distribution, not just the mean, but the 99th percentile. The mean can look fine while 1% of calls take 30 seconds. 3. Confidence score distribution. If an agent's confidence is always 0.99, it's probably not calibrated. If it's always 0.5, your threshold needs tuning. 4. Escalation rate. How often does the confidence gate trigger a fallback or human review? If it's above 5%, either your agent isn't good enough or your threshold is too aggressive.
You need all of this per agent, not just at the pipeline level. A pipeline can look healthy while one agent is failing silently 10% of the time.
That's the insidious thing about multi-agent systems. The aggregate metrics lie. You have to drill down.
I saw this play out at a company I advised last year. Their overall pipeline success rate was 96%, which they were happy with. But when we drilled into per-agent metrics, one agent, a data extraction step in the middle of the pipeline, was failing 17% of the time. The downstream agents were just really good at compensating for the bad data, so the pipeline usually recovered. But sometimes it didn't, and those failures were bizarre and hard to reproduce because the root cause was hidden 3 steps upstream.
That's the debugging nightmare. The error manifests in agent 7, but the cause is in agent 3, and by the time you see it, the context is gone. This is why tracing is so critical. You need to be able to replay an entire pipeline run with the exact inputs and outputs at each step.
Most teams aren't doing that. They're looking at the final outputs and saying, looks good enough, or that's broken, with no visibility into which agent caused the break.
Given all that, what should someone actually do if they're building a multi-agent system today?
3 things you can implement this week. First, start with the minimum viable graph. Add agents only when you can measure the improvement they provide. Use A/B testing. Run the pipeline with and without the new agent. Compare output quality and failure rate. Don't add an agent because you can. Add it because you have evidence it helps.
Which sounds obvious, but is surprisingly rare. Most teams add agents on intuition.
Second, implement confidence gates on every agent. If the agent can express confidence in its output, and some models are better at this than others, add a validation node. A separate agent whose only job is to check the output and return a confidence score. This is cheaper than retrying blindly and catches the silent failures that compound. Design for parallel execution from day one. Even if your current graph is 3 agents, structure it so that independent tasks can fan out. This future proves your latency budget as you scale. The difference between a 10-second pipeline and a 30-second pipeline is often just whether you thought about parallelism early.
Practically, how do you audit an existing pipeline?
Count your agents. Measure per agent success rate, not just crashes, but outputs that pass validation. Calculate the compounding failure probability. If it's below 95%, add validation or fallback nodes before you add more agents. Don't make the hole deeper before you've figured out how to climb out.
The prompt also asked about failover specifically. What happens when an agent simply doesn't respond?
That's where Langgraf's built-in retry logic helps. You can configure max retries and timeouts per node. But beyond that, you need a fallback routing pattern. If the transcription fixer fails after 3 retries, route to a simpler agent with a more constrained prompt, or flag it for human review. The key is that a single agent failure should never kill the entire pipeline.
Degrade gracefully, don't crash.
And that's a design philosophy, not a framework feature. You have to build your graph with the assumption that every node might fail.
I want to pull on that thread for a second because degrade gracefully is one of those phrases that everyone agrees with and nobody actually implements. What does it look like in practice?
In practice, it means every agent in your graph has a fallback path, not just a retry, a different path. If the transcription fixer fails, you don't just try it again 3 times and then crash. You route to a simpler prompt that says, just fix the words on this override list and change nothing else. If that fails, you pass the raw whisper transcript through with a flag that says, unverified transcription. The pipeline continues. The output is degraded. It might have errors, but it exists. The alternative is no output at all.
That's a hard mindset shift for engineers who are used to building systems that either work correctly or fail explicitly. Agentic systems exist in this gray area where partially correct output is often better than no output.
The podcast pipeline is a perfect example. If the transcription fixer fails, would you rather have no script at all? Or a script that might have a few mangled terms that a human can fix in 10 minutes? The answer is obvious, but most pipelines aren't designed that way. They're designed to halt on error.
One thing we haven't talked about is how this changes as models improve. GPT-5, Claude 4. If per-agent failure rates drop to 99.99%, a 100-agent pipeline suddenly has a 99% overall success rate. The math flips.
That's the open question. If reliability keeps improving, does the inflection point just keep moving right? Do we end up with 500-agent pipelines because each agent is nearly perfect?
I'd argue that's the wrong design goal regardless. Smaller, more reliable graphs are easier to understand, debug, and maintain, even if you can run 500 agents reliably, should you?
There's a philosophical question underneath that. Are we building these systems to maximize capability, or to maximize our ability to understand and control what they do?
I think the answer is both, intention. The art is knowing where to draw the line for your specific use case.
The rise of agent-specific observability platforms will make larger graphs more manageable. Langsmith, weights and biases, dedicated agent monitoring tools. But the fundamental tension between microtask purity and pipeline complexity doesn't go away. It's inherent to the architecture.
If you're building multi-agent systems, we want to hear your numbers. How many agents? What failure rates? What patterns worked? The community needs real production data, not just theory and blog posts.
The survey data we have. Median of 7, 90th percentile at 22. That's a snapshot. The real picture is in the details of what breaks and how people fix it.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The Khoisan language Ta, spoken in Botswana and Namibia, has the largest consonant inventory of any language. Over 100 distinct sounds, most of them click consonants. A fact catalogued in detail by linguist Dorothea Bleak during the interwar period, though recordings from a 1928 expedition were mislabeled as Patagonian for nearly 40 years.
Right.
I have to ask, Hilbert. How does a collection of African click language recordings get mislabeled as Patagonian for 4 decades?
The expedition's field notes were written in a shorthand that a later archivist misinterpreted. Ta was transcribed as Ta, with a dash that the archivist read as an abbreviation for Tierra del Fuego. The error was discovered in 1967 when a graduate student noticed that Patagonian languages have no click consonants.
A 40-year archival error caused by a dash. That's a very on-brand cautionary tale about silent failures propagating through a system.
It really is. A transcription error at the input stage, no validation step, and the error compounds for decades. We've been talking about this exact problem in software pipelines, and it turns out linguists have been living it since the 1920s. Here's where we land. Adding agents is cheap. Making them reliable is expensive, not in dollars, but in engineering attention. The inflection point isn't a number. It's the moment when you're spending more time managing your agents than they save you.
For most teams today, that's somewhere between 15 and 30 agents. Beyond that, you need infrastructure, observability, and a clear philosophy about how your pipeline degrades when things go wrong.
Start small, measure everything, add validation before you add capability, and design for parallel execution from the beginning. The rest is just math.
This has been My Weird Prompts, thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop. If you're building multi-agent systems in production, tell us what you're seeing. Real numbers, real failure modes, real solutions. At My Weird Prompts.
We'll be here when you send the next prompt.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.